Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 7 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled, Finding the Will of God. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
And I want to try to teach somewhat today on the will of God and how do we know the will of God? How do we find the will of God? How do we see the will of God? Because the will of God comes out of a world that we can't see. We can't see it, but we know it's there, and we're looking for something in a world that we can't see. So we start understanding that there is a part of the way God's created us. For instance, your imagination, or the imagination is the screen of the prophetic. The contemporary definition of imagination is place of make-believe. But that's not the creation of the imagination. That's the reason Paul tells us to take every thought captive. He says, come on, get you. It's because the imagination is the prophetic screen of the Spirit of God. But yet we want to fill our imagination with all kinds of channels that aren't hooked into the right frequency, if you will. So therefore, we are waiting for God to speak other than in our imagination, when our imagination is to be set aside for God as a prophetic screen. So as we're moving into the will of God, we're looking for something that we can't see in a place that we can't see. So it looks to me like there's a huge disadvantage here, or God has created a way for us to find out His will down a path that cannot be infiltrated by the world. Cannot be infiltrated by the world. His path doesn't change. His will is there. But God has done well to protect it. And so we do know that faith is the beginning, it's the opening, if you will, to this path of the will of God. And as you'll see in the teachings this week, if I'll hush and get on with it, as you'll see in the teaching, the will of God on this earth is the goal of God. And why in the world He chose us to dispense the will of God to the earth, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm so glad He did, but if He's in the cattle business, He's going to go broke, because you can't trade like that with trust the characters in this world with His truths. I'm like, wow, God, what in the world were you thinking? I think He was thinking that we would be redeemed when we did it. Maybe. Perhaps. Now, as we're moving forward in the will of God here, this is the scenario. We set up, I've got the clash of three kingdoms, a battle for dominion. I already taught on all of that, how God's created us to be in this earth and dominion over the earth with Him. So automatically we learn that if we're going to be in dominion with God over the earth, that we have a certain amount of authority that comes in being in dominion. Now we're dealing in an unseen world. We're dealing with spiritual things. So spiritual things tend to have an unseen background. So therefore, the things there's all kinds of things happening that you're praying for, but God's not going to let you see it. Can you connect those dots? It's an unseen world. God keeps the path protected. In other words, if you saw everything that you prayed for happen, you're so full of pride and arrogance and everything else, you wouldn't be worth praying. You say, oh, Alan, I can handle it. Well, this is the way God designed it. So therefore, He lets us see a little of what we're praying for. But trust me, there's more happening than you're seeing through your prayers. Because it's all couched in this idea of unseen. In other words, God couldn't trust us if we could see the kingdom of heaven, the New Jerusalem right now. He just couldn't trust us with it. I mean, if nothing else, we'd be so captivated with it, we would never eat again, we'd just starve to death and go. Right? So you got to understand the setting. The setting is He can't let us see but so much. So therefore, He is calling us to develop this character. It's almost like we're blind somewhat. We got to feel our way through it. I've heard somebody say one time, well, feelings haven't got anything to do with Christianity. I'm like, oh my gosh, boy, I'm lost. I'm a lost turkey. Because feelings has everything to do with Christianity. Now, do some days I have bad feelings? Yes, I do. But you know what? There's some days I have some good ones, and I've got this feeling that today's going to be a good one. I don't know why. My anticipation is that today is going to be a good one. And I feel like that there's something on the way from heaven to this place this day. I think it's going to land here today. Now, here's the battle of the kingdom, or for dominion. And here we go. Now, the battle is between man, darkness, and I call it the will of God. I call it the third side. So as a church, just understand something. We're in a battle, and the battlefield is in a place we can't see. The only thing that's happening that we can see are the repercussions of the battle that's happening where we can't see. Are you with me? And so therefore we're praying into an arena that we can't see. So how do I know what to pray for in the heavenlies? By what I see. Right? So we know that this battle's going on, and then I've been teaching you how the will of God does not always happen. So you've just got to accept something. We are in an unfriendly world. We are in a battle zone. And God is calling us to bring His will to the earth. That's what's happening. And there's a lot more happening than we know. I mean, I'm really upset about China and our relationships with China right now, and all of the churches that's been bulldozed down there and destroyed, and Christians have been killed. I'm really concerned about all that. And it makes me want to get a gun, go over there and fight. I got a feeling I'd lose, but I'm just saying it gets this feeling in you, right? And with this feeling that rises up in us, there's something I have to say. That's the wrong feeling. Also, they're saying, the last figures I saw, I was talking with a man, Dan Hammer. Stephen List will be with us next week. He has a friend with him, Dan Hammer. He's been all over the globe. And I asked Dan last night if he would do this teaching next week. So we'll have Dan Hammer in the morning and have Stephen List in the second one. And he perhaps will even tell me on this. But he's saying it's almost 30% of China is saved now. Wow. He said it's just exploding. He said it's just incredible. He said just, because they're over there all the time. He said all the reports. He said this is, the supernatural power of God is so manifesting over there now. He said, it's like such a hotbed of Christianity. So, we can say this is bad on one hand of our relationships with China now, and it is bad there. But there's another part of the story that I can't see. And that's what God's doing behind the scenes. Can somebody go with me on that one? God's always doing something behind the scenes on our behalf. So as a prophetic people, we can't lose sight of that. And in these elections that's just passed and all that, we have pros and cons. We have all these different ideas. And I've got my own persuasions. But there's something greater than my own persuasion. And that is, I bet God's doing something. I bet God's doing something behind the scenes on behalf of all this mess. Does anybody know what I mean? And so I want to be able to see the mess God's creating. I want to be able to see what God's doing behind the scenes on behalf of all this mess. And that's where we start moving into the prophetic realm and we start seeing the will of God. Now, there is a way that God reveals His will to us. And one of these days I'm going to get to it if I'll get on with it. Now, so we have this battle for dominion. You've got to keep dominion in your mind. It's me and God. We're going to rule this earth. Now, I say, did the prophets miss the elections And my question to you is, do we miss our futures? Now, here's what's happening. Everybody's like, well, the prophets miss it, the prophets miss it. I've already been over that. I'm not going over it again. Did they miss it? Well, okay. The question is, are you missing something? Are we missing something? Are you missing, perhaps, your future? It is more about us finding the will of God than it is about finding our futures. So we're all worried about our future, and I'm not saying we aren't somewhat concerned. We go to colleges and schools, and we do all this stuff, and we create all this stuff, and we get everything just about right, and we die. Somebody figure out that plan. Is it about finding our futures or finding the will of God? I'm not saying we don't work for our future. But I am saying it's more about finding the will of God than it is finding your future. You say, well, Alan, why do you say it like that? It's because your future is what's battling the will of God. It's your future, what you think your future is supposed to be like, that battles the will of God. You say, well, Alan, what, can I not have a future? Yes, but it's not supposed to battle the will of God. And have you noticed when God invades your future with His will, it's always at a bad time. It's like God's timing in my life is terrible. Is it just me? It's at the time I don't have time. And so then I start discovering God's messing with my future. He's messing with my time. Now, God created the earthly realm. God wanted to share His dominion with man because it is His will in the earth and for its future. Can we know the will of God? Excuse me. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of the mind. Now this is huge. You're sitting here today, you think you maybe have got it all together. Your mind needs renewed. Needs renewed every day. I went over that last week. How God needs your operating system renewed every day. God's putting out new software here all the time. So you got to renew your mind so we can keep up with Him. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, you say, well, why does God update His software every day? It's because God has included man's choices in dispensing His will. So because of our rejecting it and us, our hard-headedness or whatever, God has to reprint software based off of our choices. It's like I've said before, Satan himself doesn't know when Christ will come again. So therefore, he has to have an antichrist that is with each generation. He doesn't know when it is. So Satan's having to create an antichrist every generation. Can you believe how many he's created through the course of time? Just to find out, well, this ain't it. Well, this one ain't it. And then he creates one for the next. Because everybody says, well, I think this one's the Antichrist. I think that, well, they all were. Or potential. So here we go. How to be a prophetic voice and deliver the will of God. Just because it is the will of God does not mean it will happen. The way we understand God's will is very important for how we handle God's will. And I explained last week the different ways that it was not God's will. Thank you, John. That it was not God's will. It's not God's will for anyone to be lost. It's God's will for everybody to be saved, right? But we know that everybody's not saved. And so I went through all this list on the will of God, and we found out that God's will does not always happen. Now, what I'm wanting you to see is part of the determining factor of God's will is that man's choice is included. Now we have what we call the sovereign will of God. I went over that a little bit. Sovereign will of God. When God does not include man in something, it is just happened, such as Genesis 1:3, let there be light. So when God keeps man out of the program, it goes pretty good, right? God speaks it, it happens. Then God came up with this idea, well, I'm going to include man to have dominion with me. So now some things are done by His sovereignty, and then other things are done, His will is done by the inclusion of man. The will of God and the free will of man. Now, this is where we got in problems. Now, I've changed these bullet points to bring in more information. Sometimes God's will involve the free will of man. In these cases, he makes his will known by some means, and the man chooses to agree and participate or to disagree. Now, we see with God's will not always happening on the earth, you cannot look at things that are going on in the world and assume that everything is God's will. I mean, that's very obvious. Because God's will does not always happen. God does not demand control of everything. If he did, we would not have the ability to be free and make our own choices. So God has created this body of Christ, this church, body of Christ. We are to do the workings of Christ because we are now his body on this earth. Christ came to dispense the will of God. He went away. He left his spirit to the body collectively of Christ now with his spirit. So we start seeing that is the power of God in the body, in Christ's body, or is the power of God in Christ's spirit? It's in his spirit. The body died, resurrected, went to heaven. If the power was in his body, he would be back here now. It's in his spirit, which he has left with us, and which Pastor's going to get into today on the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is what we're wanting to learn more about. Now remember, God's will was and is to share his dominion with his people over the earth. Now, here's the question. What stops the will of God? I made the statement that I believed it was the will of God for Trump to be president right now. Some people liked that. Some people didn't like that. And for amazingly different reasons. They don't think you should mix politics and the church, you know. And I'm just making an example. The reason I believe Trump was supposed to, not because I like him or dislike him, but because all the prophets were saying it. And you say, well, Alan, can the prophets not miss it? Not all of them. It's not all of them. Not all of them are going to miss it. So then I explained to you that I think the problem was they were trying to future tell instead of telling the will of God. Now, you can say, well, Alan, I don't think Trump needs to be president. Well, God can handle Trump, too. He can handle me and you. He can handle Trump. But it just so happens that it's important how we deliver the will of God. It's got to be done in truth. You can't be a little off. There's one thing about the will of God. It demands truth. You don't add to it. You don't take away. So what stops the will of God? It is when we reject his will, when we misrepresent his will, or it is stolen. Went over a little of that. I'm going to do some different ones this week. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, what I want you to do is look into this scripture, that they might have life. Well, how do you have this abundant life? It's because you're in the will of God. Can you see that? When you are in the will of God, you'll have abundant life. When you're trying to bring God into your will, you're going to be miserable. It's such a train wreck waiting to happen. See, God doesn't speak his will one time and say, did you get it? If you did, okay, too bad, you missed it. It keeps coming. Has anybody noticed it? He has an obsession to speak his will to us. Does it not get on your nerves? He doesn't quit. He's not going to quit. We just well to get with it. And I'll tell you something else. His will is not usually what I want to do. No wonder we want him to join our will. Right? Because what his will is, it's just usually not what I'm interested in. I'm going to use Pastor Steve as an example. I'll embarrass him here. Had a furniture plant, loves to work in a furniture, loves plants, loves those, all those procedures. God invaded his life, messed it up. He had to give all that up to be a preacher of a church. He's done everything from building tables to building books to everything else, trying to work out this thing in him to build something, right? So was it his will to be here? You can ask him, but I guarantee you not. Did he yield to God's will? The answer is yes. Was there a struggle? I guarantee you there's a struggle, probably continually a struggle. Does anybody, can you identify with what I'm saying here? God's will, one way, first way you usually identify God's will is you're not interested. That's the first way. I'll get into more of them as we go. You'll feel really good by the end of this one, I promise. Now, we see that the enemy tries to steal it. He tries to steal God's will. You see, I can't imagine this church without Pastor Steve. It was God's will. He yielded to his will. So therefore, we're all sitting here today. We wouldn't be sitting here like this today had he rejected God's will. It's his leadership and the way he does things, that got us to here. Now, what causes us to reject his will? Now, Matthew 13, the same day Jesus went out of the house. And I did it a little bit last week. But you know, Jesus goes into the wilderness, he's tempted. So we see all these temptations come. There's another friend of mine sitting in here that chose to do the will of God this past week. It totally went against anything within him. You can say, Alan, how did he know the will of God? Because he read God's book. A lot of things of the will of God's in this book right here. A lot of it he's already spoken, he's already said. God reveals his will through his word. It's already written. So trust me, there's a greater life to be experienced in the will of God than there is outside of the will of God. I mean, it's a win-win for us. Totally a win-win for us. But there's something about us in this temptation that we think the temptation has more to give to our own personal gratification, our own personal will, than God's. And then we're saying, well, I know more than God does. I mean, God will slip me a curve on this one. Well, I tried a few curveballs. They didn't work. Okay. And so we see that when we reject the will of God, you can read it in Matthew 13. It says, same day Jesus went out to the seaside. You know the story of Matthew 13, I'm sure. It's a sower and he sowed. Some fell on stony ground, some on wayside ground, some on thorny ground, some on good. You had the word of God sown. And these different grounds is a person's heart. And this is different ways that we reject the word of God, the will of God. And you can read just Matthew 13, and it'll show you, it's a heart issue, and it shows you how we reject the will of God. Now, what stops us from carrying out the will of God? Somebody say, good question. It is a good question. What stops us? Well, it's in Luke 4 reveals to us another one of Satan's tactics. It's through the temptations. And that's one I just said when Jesus went up on the mountain and he had all these temptations and he did not yield to them. You can read that if you'd like to in Luke 4. I had more on that last week. What stops us from carrying out God's will? If the enemy can distract us from pursuing God's will, he will succeed in stopping us from doing what God wants. Now, believe it or not, the battle is more between me and God. My will versus God's will. That's the greater battle. If he doesn't succeed in stopping us, he can at least delay us and cause us to miss the perfect timing of his will. I mentioned last week in more depth of this about the timing of God's will. God's will, there's a time and a season for truth. There's a time, and you say, well, I just thought truth's truth. Well, it is, but sometimes truth is not successful. Wow. Sometimes truth isn't successful. Trevor there was a medical doctor, and let's say he was a brain surgeon. They wheeled me in a patient, and I get a saw, crack her head open, I'm a brain surgeon, I'm going to go in there and do surgery. And all of a sudden, the nurse said, no, he needs a heart transplant. Well, I had the best doctors and the best operator, the best everything, but it was the wrong application of the truth that that doctor could give. So it brings death instead of life. For instance, you plant corn 1.5 inches deep. A lot of you heard me say this. I'm a farmer. You plant corn 1.5 inches deep. Plant it certain soil moisture, certain compaction. You got all these different variables. I've never planted corn perfectly, by the way. I'm always in a compromise situation. But if you do that in December, and there are pretty days in December that you could do that, the corn will sprout. It's going to frost and it's going to kill it. If you do that the last of March, 1st of April, it's going to sprout. It's going to do the same thing. It's going to grow and produce the harvest. So a truth in the wrong season will bring death instead of life. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? And that's what happens with the will of God. The will of God has a season to be spoken. It has a timing. Everything about Christianity is about timing. We just think we can go out there and blurt anything out anytime we want to, and it causes more rejection of people than it does actually helping people. It's the reason we need His Holy Spirit to say, this is the right time, this is the right season. Bring that truth now. It needs to be done then. All right, let's move on. Can the will of God be stolen? The only thing I can tell you is the devil is consistently stealing the will of God. That's the situation we're in now on the earth. Restoration is restoring the will of God. Now, we're moving into restoration. The reason the church is into restoration is because the will of God's being stolen. It's the will of God that all men be saved. Right? So, we find ourselves not only wanting to know the will of God, but it just so happens we got this earth and this planet full of people that's either missed the will of God or it's been stolen or they've thrown it away or whatever. So as a church, we find one of our main things is to restore mankind to God. Right? To restore. So we're in the restoration. We're not in the getting right business. Somebody say amen. Just make it up. We're not in the getting it right business. We're in the restoration business unto God's will. If it's the getting right business, you don't need restoration. Or is anybody with me? If you think you got it all together, you don't need to be here. We're here fixing folks, including ourselves. We're here being restored to the likeness of Christ. I'm going to insert you something right here, and I'm going to take me a little time. But if you, everybody's looking for somebody, so to speak. Everybody's looking for the perfect, everybody's looking for that perfect person, or everybody's looking for somebody to follow. Everybody's looking for somebody that does it right. That's just a cry of humanity. Looking for somebody that's doing it right. And yet God's calling us to be restored. Now just go with me just a second here. Did you know that everyone in here and on the planet was thought of by God before the foundations of the earth? That's Bible. Everybody. Thought of by God before the foundations of the earth. What are you and I being restored unto? Who we are in God's mind before the foundations of the earth. Do you know who God's calling you to be? Do you know who you're looking for? You're looking for yourself in the mind of God before the foundations of the earth. Can y'all get that? I'm telling you the truth. God is calling you. He's calling you unto how He saw us before the fall of man. And when I walk in them pearly gates and I'm in heaven, guess what? I'm going to be that person that was in the mind of God before the fall of man. Come on. That's what Christ is restoring us unto. That perfect person, if you will. That person that's like Christ. So don't get it disappointed in everybody else when they don't do it right. When you're the one that's supposed to go do it. God's calling you, He's calling me to live unto whom we're going to be and were before the foundations of the earth. I got a little ways to go. Anybody else say amen? This might take a while. But I'm excited because I know where I'm going. And I'm going there. You'll have to go for yourself. I can't go for you. We can hold each other's hand and say, follow me. There's a few places I'm going to need to shut my eyes and you drag me, I guess. But I want you to see we are being restored, or we're in the restoration business, and we're restoring the will of God. It's God's will for you to be whom He saw you as before the foundations of the earth. That's God's will. Because He thought of us. He sees who we're going to be. Dropped us in on this planet. The devil down here messing up everything. Devil said, I got them now. God said this, they'll follow me because they want to, not because they have to. Now, that was a long answer, but I gave you an answer on why God's so persistent and He won't hush. He's always pursuing you and me. He's not going to quit. Just give it up. Just hanging on the bathroom wall, He's not going to quit. Just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Oh, me and praise the Lord at the same time. But I am telling you the truth. And the reason I'm telling you the truth is we just well get on board with God's will. The will of God. It's the will of God for me to be who He foresaw me to be before the foundations of the earth. That's His will. That's where I'm headed. His voice is constantly calling. The only difference is we have to choose. It's the only thing. There's a choice that must be made. There's a daily choice that must be made. Now, I got 5 minutes. Restoration is God's will. But we must believe something. I'm going to put it in Joel. So I will restore to you the years of the swarming locust has eaten, crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. It is God's will that this verse is yours. Number one, there's no reason to sit here in any shame. None whatsoever. There, we don't, at New Life, maybe there's a lot of things we do. We don't do shame. We just, that one's off limits. You could get a kick in the hinder parts. If we talk about each other, we don't like it here. We don't do shame. Now, God says He wants to restore it. He wants to restore. So here's my point. It's been stolen. Something's been stolen from God's people. God wants to restore that. But He also put right there at the end, there's something that stops it. It's called shame. When we've been to the cross and we're being obedient unto God's will, there is no shame. Now, I'm going to get right quickly into supernatural restoration of the will of God. Okay, we got restoration, then we got the supernatural restoration. Right when I said the word supernatural, I felt the Holy Ghost. I really did. I'm not kidding. I felt the Holy Ghost, heavy. The Holy Ghost wants to do something supernatural today, I believe. I don't know what that is. I declare that's the will of God. That's what that is. We can rejoice and be glad even when nothing seems to be going right in our lives. This is the part of supernatural restoration. It looks like there's no way. There's no way. This is terrible. This is bad. There is no way. But you find yourself being obedient to the will of God. There's supernatural restoration coming. Jeremiah 30, 17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion whom no man seeketh after. It is God's will to restore. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous what? So, I want you to see this first thing here. The first thing, one of the first things going to restore it is joy. Come on, somebody. You're going to need a little. Can I throw a bucket of joy on you? If you want this to be a supernatural day, it comes in on the joy of the Lord. That's right. Go to Walmart right quick. Somebody go get me a bucket of joy. Oh, that's dishwashing, isn't it? Well, that might be what we need too. Put her in the baptistry. I don't know. Joy. Joy is important. In restoring the supernatural will of God, joy is important. Joy is important. Joy is important. You know why? The gates of hell and the enemy cannot stand the joy of the Lord from God's people. It turns his liver over. He can't stand it. It gets on his nerves. He likes it when we come in here all solemn and sad and say, God, touch me if you can. He loves that. The joy of the Lord is the protection of your life in this sanctuary. Yes! It's the first step of restoration. The joy of the Lord. The will of God comes through His anointing. John, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received from Him does what? It does what? Now, does anybody in the house believe that? But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, how many things? All things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is, has taught you, you will abide in Him. Now, here's the deal. This anointing is what tells you the will of God. You're in a realm which you can't see. So we need to be anointed to see. Anybody get that? I'm not going to get there today. I'm going to show you, if Jesus doesn't come before next week, how this anointing comes upon you and you will know what the will of God is. If you want to know what the will of God is, come back next week. You can know what the will of God is. Now, here's your homework assignment. You're going to have to practice on your joy a little bit. If I had to give a test today, we'd all flunk. The joy is the beginning of the anointing. You see, here's what works. Joy is the results of a human spirit knowing what God's fixing to do. That's what it is. It knows. And you just get giggled up. You just get happy. You just get joyous. You can go look around you at everything everybody's doing wrong. When I was in the revival with Jeff Rowland, I'm telling you, talking about doing it backwards. We just done it about as wrong as you could do it. And the power of God show up just in spite of us. The power of God was there. The power of God was there. Never had so much fun in my life. It was fun. We'd cry, we'd laugh, we'd pray. And I've told you before, you couldn't do anything wrong. Truth is, we're doing everything wrong and nobody cared. Why? Because Jesus was in the room. His Holy Spirit was in the room. And I told you the crankiest fella in the whole church come up to me, and when the Spirit of God was moving there one Sunday, he come up to me just a crying, his eyes just a bawling. He said, "Al, I don't understand. I love everybody in here." And trust me, he didn't love nobody. Complained about everybody. And he couldn't understand it, but he loved everybody. Does anybody want the will of God to hit this place like this? Yeah. I'm telling you, it's the will of God that it happened here.
Come on.
It's totally. It's the will of God to happen in every church, every area.
Come on.
But I'm not going to wait on everybody else. We can't afford it. What we're looking for is the will of God today in this house. So let's stand and I'll pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We ask and pray, oh God, that you know our deal, Lord. If there's anything that I've said that's out of bounds or not right, I pray that these people will just look over me. But Lord, what I've said that's of you, I ask and pray that it would come alive in our hearts and our lives. I pray for this anointing to be on our pastor today. And that you would feel him. And that this anointing, oh God, would far surpass anything he's ever experienced.
Yes, God.
Lord, I pray for Blake right now. He asked me to pray for him before church and I forgot it. So I'm going to do it right now. You're in trouble now, Blake. Lord Jesus, I pray for Blake right now. In the name of Jesus. Any prophetic words that would be revealed to him, you'd give him to him now, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, that you just give it to him right now. Just overflow in his hands and in his heart. And Lord, I pray for this congregation.
Yes.
That we would be prepared. Well, Lord, I prepared them for your will. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This day is our prayer, O God. Shift this room, O God. Shift it, O God, that your angels might be partakers here, that your presence might be a partaker here. And Lord, if anybody here is uneasy with what I've said, I just speak, be at rest. If it's not in the book, it won't happen. So, Lord, we pray that it's anything that's in this book can happen.
Yes.
All right, church, let's worship him. Amen.